And our next guest knows a little something about the Cornhuskers. Steve Sipple, he's a columnist for the Lincoln Journal Star. And no pressure, Steve, but Darnell told me you are the preeminent voice for all things Cornhuskers.
No, I don't think so, Jason. but I do feel a little pressure because Darnell is the boss. He'll always be the boss.
So I want to ask you this. What has Cornhuskers more excited? The fact that fall camp is around the corner or that they have alternate jerseys that have been released?
I don't know that people are that excited about the jerseys. I mean, but it does, spark a lot of conversation. People do. I mean, not everybody obviously cares about it, but a lot of people care about it here, probably more so than a lot of places. It's hard to get a read on all that, but that was the dominant story of the day for sure.
So take us through, a week or two away from fall camp, a little over a month from the beginning of the season. Give me the state of the program in terms of Cornhusker football. Where do things stand heading into year one under Mike Riley?
Well, there's a lot. I mean, people are just kind of, I think they're a little anxious to see what happens. And the good thing is, in terms of talking to you two fellows, a lot of it has to do with BYU. There's a lot of, it's a good first opponent. And people are they're respectful of BYU. They know that this will be we'll learn a lot about the way this season might go for a new coaching staff and a team on September 5th. And you wouldn't necessarily say that if Nebraska were playing South Alabama or Western Michigan or Florida Atlantic, some of the teams that they've played first in recent years. So I don't think there's trepidation. I think that's going too far, but I think there's some anxiousness, some anxiety, and a lot of it's, not all of it stems from the fact that BYU is the first opponent, but a lot of it is about that.
Steve, you got to clear something up for me. I knew that you were a fair boxer and second baseman growing up, but I had no idea that you now roam the streets fighting crime in Lincoln. I see this picture on my Twitter feed of you in a Batman cowl. What's the story with that?
Darnell, somebody tweeted at me that I should just shut the hell up, and all I did was send back a tweet that said, "Ain't happening." And some of the radio guys liked that response, and one of the radio guys, Mike Welch, said, "Sip, you're my hero," and he put me in a Batman,
Well, I got to say, you look pretty good, Steve.
That's not real. That was Photoshop, Darnell. you probably figured that out.
Hey, Steve,
Mike Welch
question.
Was pretty creative. He was pretty
no,
creative.
No, it was. It looks really good. I like to think the people in Lincoln sleep better at night knowing you're out there fighting crime for them. Hey, tell me, we've been following the Big 12 media days just a little bit, and it seems like some of the coaches are for expansion, which obviously is a topic out here in Provo.
Yeah.
And then I heard Bill Snyder say something about maybe we should bring back Nebraska to the Big 12, and then some people ran with the headline, "Is Nebraska coming back to the Big 12?" And I said, well, I'm going to ask Steve, because I think I know what you're going to say, but address some of that as far as Nebraska's relative feelings about being in the Big 10 still, and then the Big 12 expansion, how you see that.
Yeah, I think it's a question worth asking, but there's nothing. Okay, now listen. I'm going to contradict myself a little bit. It's a question worth asking, but there's nothing to it.
Right.
I mean, Nebraska's not going back to the Big 12. As an institution, Nebraska's very happy in the Big 10. Now, what you hear sometimes is fans have a little buyer's remorse, I think. There's that element in the discussion, but it's basically meaningless. I mean, yeah, there's some people that kind of long for the Big 12 days. The Big 10 travel, when Nebraska was in the Big 12, there was a lot of games where you could just drive to and come back home that same day. You'd go down to Kansas State, it was a two-hour drive. You go to Kansas, 3-hour drive. You go to Iowa State, 2.5-3-hour drive. And now you don't have those opportunities. And not only that, there were warm weather games in October, November, where you go down to Austin, Texas. You go down to Waco. You go down to Lubbock. You go down, way down to College Station, and there was warmth. And now, Darnell, you were there when we went to Penn State.
Oh, I've never been so cold in my life.
Exactly. Well, I mean, that's not, I mean, we don't exist in a vacuum. There's a lot of people that experience that, you know, that are non-media. And that's when, I mean, hey, believe me, Darnell, at that point, I longed for Austin, Texas, and in November. So I think there's that, but no, it's not. Nebraska's not going. I can, you know, Nebraska as an institution isn't going anywhere. A lot of the reason it joined the Big Ten, and Darnell, you were here, was for stability. And they don't want to, they're not going to mess with that.
Do you think, and this is probably one of those questions that, you know, we want to know how people view us type thing, and it seems like this happens quite a bit. Do you believe BYU deserves to be in a P5 conference?
I do. Yeah, I do. I don't think there's any question. And I'm, you know, right off the top of my head, I'd cite three things. And this is just off the top of my head, but let's face it, this is the things... You know, some of these things are what you're looking at. I would say history and tradition, which BYU has a lot of it. You know, going back to the run of great quarterbacks, going back to the great Lavelle Edwards. You know, people know those names. Those are, I mean, it's a strong, in my opinion, anyway. It's a strong brand, and then I would say. Recent results are good. I mean, you guys play a very difficult schedule. And you know, you've had winning seasons. I think, I don't know for sure, but I know you had that 10-3 year in 2011. I think you've had a run of 8-5 and you know, against the schedule you're playing, I know you guys want better, but that's not bad. And so you always have pretty good teams. You have a respectful coach. Who has a good record. There's been stability. And it's a good academic institution, probably a really good academic institution. I'm not totally familiar with that part of it. But those are all things that I think make BYU appealing. And I would think the Big 12 would go to BYU very quickly.
Steve Sipple joining us here on ESPN 960, columnist from the Lincoln Journal Star. If you'd like to follow, let me change that. You should follow him on Twitter at @HuskerExtraSip. @HuskerExtraSip. We'll see. You know how many followers you have right now, Steve? Do you pay attention to that?
I mean, it's up over the 37,000 mark now, I guess.
Wow. Well, we may, just because we mentioned that on this station, we may add about 3 or 4 to that. So
just be aware.
If you add 3 or 4, you know where it came from. But let's focus on the field. And this happens all the time. Anytime there's a new head coach coming into a program, this happens. The question I would ask you, how does the Cornhusker personnel fit what Mike Riley wants to do on both sides of the football?
Well, I think it's, I mean, the main part of the discussion is offense. And it's not a great fit on offense. He, you know, generally speaking, he's had drop back quarterbacks, pocket guys, not all the time at Oregon State, but most of the time. In 2007, for instance, he didn't have that. You guys probably remember Lyle Moveo. He was a 5'11", 210-pound quarterback that was more of a dual threat. He could sling it now. He played for the Omaha Nighthawks pro team here, and I watched him practice a few times. And I mean, he had a good arm, but you know, he could also run the zone read and get out of the pocket. You know, he was really good when things broke down. But generally speaking, Riley's had guys like Sean Mannion, and you know that was his latest guy who threw for a ton of yards. And he doesn't have that here. He doesn't have a guy like that here. He has a guy that's more like Mo Vau, but he feels like he can make it work with Tommy Armstrong, who, as you know, Darnell knows, is a tough kid. He's got a very live arm. Arm strength isn't an issue. It's accuracy and decision-making and, you know, and now, to your question, can Tommy get comfortable quickly in this new system? I mean, it does involve a lot of adjustment on his part, footwork, reads, timing. It's all different now. On the other hand, Riley has said he'll try to tailor things to Tommy's strengths. So you might still see some zone read. You could see some quarterback design, quarterback runs. They want to take advantage of Tommy's strengths. So there's what I'm talking about kind of is a balance. There's a fine line that they're trying to achieve. But I think that Riley has gotten a lot of credit for his willingness to adjust to the personnel on hand.
Steve, there's been some movement I've been following along a little bit online of some of Bo Pelini's recruits kind of choosing to go other directions now. And then, you know, they've signed a few guys that Mike Riley and his group have been after. Have you been able to sense any bit of a difference as far as where they want to recruit and what kind of guys they want to recruit to Nebraska with his new coaching staff as opposed to Bo Pelini's group?
Yeah. Hey, Darnell, it's not that much different. I mean, at Nebraska, there's not – here's why. Because at Nebraska, there's not too many different ways to do it. You kind of got to go where you got to go. I mean, to get players. Because of the, you know, the geography here, there's not many players in the state. In fact, Nebraska has just one from the state in its 14-player class now. Just lost another one who decommitted and went to Arizona State. And it's going to be he was the top-rated player in the state. And there's another kid in Omaha who it's going to be a battle. The kid in Omaha is the number two rated player in the state, and it's going to be a battle to get him. So you kind of got to go where you got to go, and but also be mindful of the 500-mile radius from Lincoln, which encompasses places like Kansas City and Des Moines, Minneapolis is, you know, right in that region. And then, you know, it goes west to, you know, into Wyoming. Just think about 500 miles from Lincoln all ways. And they feel like they have to thrive in that area. But Darnell, I mean, people, it's funny when a new coach comes in and emphasizes that, people act like it's a new thing. I mean, I've been hearing that for 25 years. I mean, that goes, Tom Osborne always preached the importance of that 500-mile radius. So that's not a change. And this staff recruits heavy in California, okay? But Nebraska's always been heavy in California, since I can remember. They've always pulled kids and have tried to pull kids out of California with varying degrees of success. This staff has done a good job in the Southeast, but Bo emphasized the Southeast. He loved the Southeast. Bo was a SEC guy, and that's where he thought the cats, as he called them, were. You know, he said, you got to find the cats, and those guys are down there. So I'd say it hasn't changed that much. The emphasis hasn't changed. It you hear fresh voices saying what they're going to do, so sometimes it kind of sounds like it is, but it's really not, in my opinion.
Steve, I got a sense looking at Nebraska's spring game a little bit and seeing the reaction by Mike Riley afterward. It seemed like he was almost a teeny bit overwhelmed by the reception and by the support. I mean, he put almost 77,000 in the stadium for a spring game. Do you think he understands the magnitude of the job he's taken there in Lincoln?
Well, there you go, Darnell. I'd say that's a pretty perceptive question. I think that you're right. The spring game made a huge impression on him, and it did surprise him. He said that, and I wonder all the time what not only Riley, but what his assistants, if they understand what they've got themselves into. You have an idea of the magnitude of the passion and the energy and the intensity of this place. I don't want to act like Lincoln and Nebraska football's all that much different than everywhere else. But if you're talking about, if you had to pick 15 places that are the most intense in terms of fan energy, fan fervor, I think Nebraska would be there because as you know, that there's nothing else. There's no other Division I programs, there's no pro teams, so it gets all the focus. And yeah, I think Riley will have to adjust to that. And I don't think if you really want to know, I mean, really when you get down to it, this is just an opinion, but I don't think you can know how this job is until the season begins, until you have a couple losses and you're in it. I know from experience, I say that from experience, from covering Bill Callahan when Bill was here, he was not ready for it. I mean, he handled it okay. And this is a guy, remember, Bill Callahan coached Oakland Raiders to the Super Bowl, I mean, it wasn't like he hadn't been around the block, but this is a different kind of beast. Bo had a little trouble. I think the job ate Bo alive a little bit. I wonder that all the time about Riley. Now, I will say this, I would add this about Riley. Been a head coach for 24 years. He's 62 years old. He has a lot of perspective about college football and about life in general. And I think those things, I think his age and his range of experience could really help him in the regard you asked about.
Steve, BYU brings in what they hope and what people expect to be one of the best offenses they've had in a very long time.
Yes,
what
yes.
type of defense will they be facing come September 5th?
Well, I'll tell you, I mean, and Darnell knows I don't pretend to be a defensive coordinator. I'm not that guy, I'm not that journalist, but I know what you guys got at quarterback. Everybody does. But I know what you got, a big running back. It's good too. And you guys are going to put pressure on Nebraska's linebackers is what I believe. I think, I know if I was Bronco Mendenhall or if I was your offensive coordinator, I'd be trying to find ways. If I was Robert Anais, I don't know if I butchered that name. I would really try to find ways to put heat on the linebackers. Nebraska's going to play a scheme, a style, where the front four are going to try to get upfield and make plays. And if that means that offensive linemen are getting to that second level and getting on those linebackers, it's going to be trouble for Nebraska in the running game. If you guys get upfield quick, what you have is a Nebraska team that does not have much experience at linebacker. They have two guys, and Darnell knows this, Josh Banderas and Michael Rose-Ivy, that do have experience. 17 starts between them, but I think they'll start a true freshman at the other spot, and I think they're going to have to bring two, true freshmen off the bench after that. I mean, they may be playing two true freshmen, maybe three true freshmen. And the guys that I mentioned, Josh Banderas and Michael Rose-Ivy, the juniors, the veterans, are, I would just say, somewhat proven. I mean, they have a lot to prove. They haven't been great. So, now, on the other hand, Nebraska's really good in the up front in the interior D-line. Not great on the ends. But, hey, I'm going to tell you something, and Darnell knows this. They got two guys in the interior that are about as good as it gets. I can't imagine there's many teams that have two guys at defensive tackle like Malik Collins and Vincent Valentine. So that's the challenge you guys will face. Your guards and center will be challenged.
Well, Steve, we will cut you loose. I know you've got a pack for Chicago here pretty quick, right? Big 10 media days?
No. That's next week, Darnell.
Next week, okay.
I hope it's next week, because if it's not...
Better I'm check your itinerary, Steve. And don't forget your power cord for your computer, okay? That's sort of an inside joke, but anyway. Hey, Steve, we appreciate you coming on with us today, right?
Yeah, it's great to hear you. We'll catch up on the phone, okay?
Yeah, and I'll be out there on the 5th, and we'll have dinner, and you can regale me with your tales of mass crusadism in Lincoln.
I got a couple good spots that are maybe nobody's thought about. You haven't thought about, so we'll. I look forward to that, Darnell.
Sounds good. Thanks, Steve. Have a good night.
All right, you too. Take care.